T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Show and Vern. Someone stepped up? Brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
You know, we make a lot of fun of ourselves about having the worst ratings in Kansas City and the worst show. And I think sometimes it's tongue-in-cheek, and sometimes we like, you know, we don't know if we really believe it. But then we look at it, and I'm pretty sure we are the only show in Kansas City that did not get Quentin Lucas on. The Drive had him on earlier this week. Fesco just had him on. I'm pretty sure he's going to be next door on today. That's a real shiner in the eye of knowing exactly where we are. And it's not Steve's fault. It's just ours. There's no way. Put it in. Well, come on, Show and Vern. Come on, who?
I thought Serta said that he couldn't come on our show.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Seems to be able to come on everyone else's show.
Yeah, I thought it was something with us.
I'm pretty sure it is. You know what time it is on a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday.
Joe, good morning. When you hear Steve Spagnuolo speak about Breland Speaks, what comes to mind?
Yeah, I mean, he was playing a position that was a little different for him. I actually went back and watched his college tape. You know, he was inside a lot. He was a defensive end. He did some good things. I think he's a little more comfortable being there. But we got a ways to go, and Breland's just one of the guys that have been really working hard, and it's a little bit new. So I'm taking one day at a time.
Lies. Lies. First thing. All right, I want to get onto the Breland Speaks things, because yesterday we talked about players we believe that will pop. And there were people on the text line sending in Breland Speaks. And then I remember Bob Fesco, who was on with us on Shop Talk, which you can catch every single Tuesday, and hell, a closed-door meeting on the last Tuesday of each month where everybody's in here. Fesco said his player to pop is Breland Speaks. And people were sending in, hey, Ron, why are you not giving Breland Speaks a chance? How long does it normally take for pass rushers or defensive linemen to pop or to show what they're going to be? I didn't send it in, but Bradley Chubb right off the bat was able to do it. But anyhow, I get what you're saying. Joey Bosa, another, just right in our division. But then it made me think, Vern, am I being unfair to Breland Speaks? Like, listening to Bob, Bob's willing to give him another chance. Some of you were willing to give him a chance and look at him differently. Am I willing and am I being unfair to Breland Speaks? And Vern, oh, hell no, I'm not being unfair to Breland Speaks. Absolutely not. And any of you who have the thoughts or not, I thought you expressed it so well yesterday. I don't know what it is that Breland Speaks brings to the table. And I don't know that being to a guy who played a lot last year. He played a ton when Justin Houston was out, and you don't know. I don't know what position he plays. Listen, there could be excuses, because I think a lot of guys on the defense get this excuse. Charvarius Ward comes to mind. Tony Hitchens comes to mind. Hell, you can even say Reggie Ragland comes to mind. That Bob Sutton and Emmett Thomas were so bad at their jobs and so bad in terms of coaching this defense that maybe you should just flush that away, that you should look at these guys and say, well, man, they weren't put in the right positions, and I think that's accurate. They weren't used at their best of their ability. We've heard Justin Houston, Marcus Peters, Dee Ford, plenty of guys comment about it, Stevie Nelson comment about they weren't put in the best positions. Or you could say, hey, it's year one for him. I don't feel that it's unfair for me to still think the way that I do, because I don't attribute those factors to him. Vern, he was never a dominant player in college. He was never anyone who jumped off the page in college to where you thought, well, that guy's going to be a bona fide NFL starter. I don't give a rip if it's in the 3-4 or the 4-3. Last year, with playing time, Vern says this a lot. He said it a lot with D4. Damn it, you can play or you can't. He did not show signs of somebody who could do things like get to the quarterback, which is his job. He did not show signs. Hell, you listen to Spags, we don't know what position this young man plays. And the last point is, you can't come off the season that you had in year one, coming in with a new defense, with a defense that's supposed to fit you, and come in looking like he did. They've been kicking this young man inside as a D tackle. So, no, I don't judge him the way that I do Tony Hitchens into thinking it was the surrounding parts of the coordinator that really caused him, or Tre'Davious Ward. No, I think he's different. The look, the way that he decided to come into the season with the weight gain, he didn't seem like he's very serious about his body. And just everything he's shown us in college and here. I don't think it's unfair how we view Breland Speaks.
And that's the question. That's how you start the conversation. Am I being unfair to Breland Speaks? The way that you judge his 2018, no, it is not unfair. He was out there a lot, but you never really noticed him. Whenever Breland Speaks was a part of a play, he was just there. It seemed more happenstance than some athletic play that allowed him. Some great read, some great move, some great example of football instincts that allowed him to make that play. To me, and maybe this is unfair, it just always seemed like he was the guy that was there to pick up the fumble. He was the guy there.
On accident.
Exactly. But to the question of are you being unfair about his 2019, yeah, I think you are, because you have to take into account the kid is 23. Now, maybe you need to change your expectations. Maybe others need to change their expectations. Fesco's point and the text line's point yesterday was, if I could choose one player to hit to pop in 2019, it would be him. Now, that would be fantastic. The question is, and maybe the debate lies in, what is hitting for Breland Speaks? The text line Fesco brought up the idea of 10 sacks. That, to me, is an unreal expectation, and putting that on him appears unfair, especially when you know what he looked like when he showed up to camp. But him being a benefit to the team, more so than just a depth piece, at the age of 23, I think you have to acknowledge that is at least a possibility. He can be something more than just a body off the bench. He can still be a contributor to a solid defensive line. 10 sacks, Pro Bowl conversation, a wrecker of offenses, that might be a little bit much, but he can be more than just a guy.
A contributor is just really nothing special in the league. Like, I mean, there's a bunch of people.
Then how about this?
Who could do that?
Whatever you think Derek Nnadi can become, why can't Breland Speaks reach that same level? Maybe they're doing it from different spots on the field, but as far as how you view them and their importance to this defense and defensive line, I think they could, again, because of the age. He gave us nothing. He played a lot and showed us nothing.
The age. Anything is possible with the age. You're right. A difference between Derek Nnadi. Derek Nnadi appears to show that he gives a rip. Derek Nnadi's not coming in with his body the way that he is.
You're right.
And Derek Nnadi, there's no confusion about what the coaching staff are saying these things. Come on, man. You don't know what position he plays? They've been playing him inside. That's not the design of him, especially in a 4-3 right now with his size. You want to know if he's big enough. He's never played in that. Coming off of the fact of it be another thing, like Dee Ford or people or Chris Jones or people people gave examples of, which I thought was really good. I think there's credence to the examples. Those guys, slow starters. Chris Jones, 2 sacks in year one. Dee Ford running away from running backs as they're running towards him.
But even coming out, I don't think you
But looked, I was that's what right, I was going to say. Okay. In college, D. Right. Ford was dominant right. at Auburn. Right. And at college, at times, Chris Jones was dominant. You saw some. This guy in college was never dominant. This guy in college was just a guy that seemed to accidentally recover fumbles and wave and smile. Like, that's the thing. So I don't think that it is unfair for me to denounce the coaching from last year and the places where he was placed as things of this is why he struggled. No, he came in overweight. He's never at the college or NFL level, and I know it's just 1 year, been an effective game changer in any way. So no, I almost feel this is him.